Well, while I'm getting taken care of here, I'd like you to turn around and tell the person behind you that you're glad to see them, if you can do that. I've been told when I do that at different other places, when the worship team sings songs and praises and they get you into the spirit and mode of worship. We talked about songs and music and how much it's a part of praising to God, and I can say amen to that. And so the worship team works really hard in getting you in a mode of worship, and they've set the tone. And then I go and blow it by telling everybody, say hello to everybody. And so everybody starts getting, you know, all excited. And that's when I notice the octaves come a little louder here, and everybody's all jazzed and excited and to see each other. And I believe you're sincere when you say you're glad to see each other. Oh, I got at least one amen out of that. I'm so happy about that. This first minute or two is a commercial, okay? It's not the sermon, it's a commercial. So don't time me if you're into doing that. Some of our churches, and I say our churches, they have this time thing that they do. And I always mess them up. Because I always go longer than you went 3 minutes over. I said, praise the Lord, that is so good. I went 3 minutes over. And being a Sabbatarian, I know that we don't have nothing else to do this afternoon. You know, all I'm going to do is have a nice potluck and do lay ministry. You know, go take a nap, you know. And so I can take, if I can take a few minutes out of my time to do all of that, God is good. God is good. So the commercial is this. I want to thank Andrew Decker for all the hard work that he and the committee has been doing for these young adult retreats. Two of them that are coming up, they've been working really, really hard, and I just want to thank him for that because ahead of time, because God is really going to bless them, and say thank you, Andrew. And the other one is, you know, I know you're probably going to do this already because I'm not going to be here the next few weeks because. This is our youth camp season that's kicking in starting next weekend in Arizona and California. And so I'm going to be going down to Arizona for a few days for camp down there where it's going to be in Prescott, Arizona. They tell me that in Phoenix next week it's going to be about 107 degrees, but in Prescott it's going to be a lot cooler, 10 degrees cooler. So 97 in Arizona is fantastic, folks. I'm going to tell you that right now. So, and I just want to acknowledge, he doesn't like accolades. He doesn't like publicity. He doesn't like anything like that. But Derek, this is too bad. I'm going to do this to you anyways. But Derek Edwards is going to be the EMT, the medical person, for the Arizona camp. And he's going to be there all week long, working hard and taking care of things for us down there. And I just want to say thank you, Derek. Appreciate that. He has to spend one day with me, so pray for me as we go over to the camp. And so we're going to have altogether close to 500 people in the next 3 weeks being serviced at our youth camps throughout the West Coast District. So please, pray for the harvest. Pray that the Lord will be blessing in Arizona, California, Oregon, at our youth and seeker camps. And that there will be safe travels. And when those that get there, they'll get back safely. And the whole time we're there, that God will be there. The scripture that I'm going to be taking from is found in 2 Kings chapter 7. And beginning with verse 3. So if you have your Bibles, you got to turn to that. Follow along. So because you're going to get lost here if you don't follow along with me. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. Begins by saying this. It says, and there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, why do we sit here and die? I want you to understand that if you look at the history of God's chosen people, we can clearly see that every time they had prosperity, It was because he enjoyed, they always rise and fall with the character of the leader and of the people. Obedience to God was a condition of blessing. Would you agree with that? Obedience to God was a condition of blessing. Unfortunately, in Israel's history, it wasn't very pretty, which speaks to the condition of their national character during those bad times. Does that sound familiar? You will probably remember that the kingdom was divided into the north and south. 10 northern tribes went, and it was known as Israel. And into 2 southern tribes was known as Judah. Samaria was the capital of Israel in the north, and Jerusalem was the capital of Judah. I'm going to be spending most of my time talking about what was happening in the north. There was a king named Ben-Hadad, who was the king of Syria, who decided to besiege Samaria, surrounded it. It was so successful that the famine in there was so bad that the people were paying huge prices for little pieces of food that was left, and until the situation became absolutely desperate. If you're going to blame somebody when bad things are happening, sometimes people have a tendency to blame God. Well, it's God's fault. Well, in this case, the king of Israel was blaming the prophet Elisha, those of you who know who he was. He blamed Elisha for the terrible conditions and for not doing something about it. The king wanted to kill Elisha. So Elisha turns around and he says, you know, this time tomorrow, there's going to be barley and wheat and flour for sale at the gate, and it's going to be for a low price. Well, people laughed at him. They said, that's ridiculous. Now, this sitting brings us to the true story of the 4 lepers I'm going to talk about. They were sitting at the gate of Samaria. They were dying of hunger. They had hopelessly waiting for what? They didn't know. They were just sitting there waiting. They were soon to become the main characters of Elisha's prophecy about his prophetic word. But yet, here they were. They sat. They were pathetic. They were hopeless. They were starving. And they were miserable. In 2 Kings chapter 7, go with me there, beginning with verse 3. And we're reading with verse 4. It says, and there were 4 leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said to one another, so why do we sit here until we die? They started to reason within themselves. They said, if we go into the city, there's a famine in the city, and we're going to die. If we sit here, we're going to die. So why don't we get together, and why don't we go to visit the host of the Syrians that's surrounding the city? If they save us alive, well, then we'll live. But if they kill us, well, then we're going to die. So what was their options? They were going to die? Or they were going to die? Or they were going to die? They finally came to a conclusion. They could sit and die, or they could do something about their situation. They were in a bad way. But they chose not to be victims. Folks, we can't be victims to this world. They were displeased with their circumstances. They decided to search for opportunity inside of their difficulty. See, there's a difference between being stuck and being struck. And they were struck with hope. Their hope stimulated them to be proactive and creative. Their paralysis was broken. The possibility that there might be something around the corner made everything look different. And you folks can't tell me that you're not anything different than that sometimes. I've dreamed of winning the lottery. And I've dreamed of what I'd do with it. But that's never going to happen, folks. But it's kind of nice. Years ago, when I was just a little boy, I grew up in a family of seven. And Mom and Dad worked really, really hard to feed us. And some of us really liked to eat. And it was hard. So I remember going through a grocery store, and they were having this contest. There's so many thousandth person to come through that would win $100. And I remember my mom saying, "Oh, if I won that $100, I'd just give it to the church." And our eyes got really big, and I remember my little mind thinking, "Are you crazy?" Went through the line. The bell started ringing, and she was that person. And everybody started looking at her. Said, "You've won! You've won!" And they gave her $100. We all started talking about ourselves, "What are you going to do with it?" Well, the next Sabbath, she put it in the offering plate. We said, "She lost her mind." But that's what she said she would do. She would give it to the Lord. And she did that. And I've thanked her over and over many times since then. I said, "Mom, I have to confess to you, I thought you were nuts. But, you know, God is good." You see, hope stimulates people. To act on the possible requires these guys to get off their duff in the gate and travel. And they knew it. At their previous excuses, all their excuses of why they were sick were dumped. They jumped out of their rut. No longer had power over them. They knew that to remain dormant would be fatal. Courage was the name of their new plan. How long the leper sat there at the gate, the scriptures doesn't say. What changed them? Keep in mind that it's God who prompts the hearts. It's God who has His own purposes. In the blink of an eye, God can light up a man's heart and his mind. So what made the light come on in these guys? Isaiah 14:27, don't go there. Stay with Kings, okay? Let me just read this to you. In Isaiah 14:27, it says, "For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? And His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" When the God moves, you can't turn back. You can't focus. You're not more powerful than God. When God decides He wants to do something, we cannot stop it. So in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 5, they said, "Then they arose. They got up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they came to the uttermost part of the camp, behold, there wasn't anybody there." See, once they made this decision, it was easy for the lepers to get up and do something and take that first step. Sometimes that first step in your life is the hardest one. But once the flame was ignited, they felt enthusiasm. They were on a quest for some supernatural results. But when they got to the camp, it was empty. There was nobody there. In 2 Kings 7, 6 and 7, it says, "For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Wherefore they arose and they fled in the middle of the night, and they left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even in at the camp as it was, and they fled for their life." See, I don't know how God did it, but this reminds me, this is not the only time God has done this sort of thing. If you ever have a chance to read the autobiography of Moshe Dayan, who was the general of Israel in 1967, you'll find in the Six-Day War that the Egyptians and Assyrians, they all heard this noise and they saw things and they fled and they left their tanks. And when the Israeli soldiers came about, they found that they had run away. And Moshe Dayan says, they saw something. God fought for us. I don't know how God did it, but somehow through His action, the enemy of God's people, the Syrians, they heard a noise of a great army coming against them. The noise they heard literally freaked them out, so much to the point that they abandoned all their stuff and they left it there. 2 Kings 7:8. Well, before I get there, I want you to understand that when the lepers decided to make their decision to go to visit the Syrians, God was already at work. If you start to make a decision in your life, I want you to understand that God is already at work in your life. And He's preparing the way for your life. He's already working right now. And I know that because when I go to visit these youth camps, I know God is already there. And He's already preparing. We're going to be fishers of men. And we're going to catch fish for God because He's already working. So He was at work already. So by the time those guys got to the camp, everybody was gone. 2 Kings 7:8. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and they ate and they drank. These guys hadn't eaten for days. There was all this food in there. And they ate and they drank and they found silver and gold and nice new clothes. And they went and they hid it. And they came back again to a second tent. And they got some more stuff. They were having a good time. I can just imagine these poor guys going in there and they see all this fine food and drink and they're eating and partying and having a good time and all these new clothes and they see, you know, and one guy said, "Hey, George, try this on. Oh, man, Bob, that looks great on you. I've never felt so good in my life." Yeah, they're just looking at each other, eating and drinking, having a great time. But here comes the pinnacle of the story. In 2 Kings 7:9, beginning with verse 9. "Then he said one to another, 'We do not do well here. This is a day of good things, and we're holding our peace. If we tarry till the morning, some mischief's going to come upon us. Now therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household.'" How did they know that? How did they know that if they kept their peace, that something bad was going to happen? They must have felt something. I'd like to think it's the Holy Spirit touching the conscience. Because, see, when God plans things, He wants to carry it through. Remember Elisha's prophecy? That by the next morning, food would be in abundance. Didn't he say that? And so these guys are in the middle of the night. They find all this stuff and they're stuffing themselves. I don't know how many trips they made to that first, second, third tent. I don't know. Was it the third tent that they finally came to their senses? I don't know. But you can only eat so much. Trust me. And they finally came to their senses. And they said, we need to do something here. God had already set it up for them to eat. God had already set it up for Elisha's prophecy. God had already set it up by the next morning people were going to have food. And here in the middle of the night, these four guys are stuffing themselves. And they said, "We're not doing well. We got to go tell somebody." In verse 10 it says, "So they came, and they called to the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, 'We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but the horses are there, the donkeys are there, the tents are there, and there's food there.'" And they kept probably just waving their arms, and the porter's looking down, and these guys are crazy. But they kept insisting. And so he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. You see, the statement here is, don't sit outside the gate and die. Don't just sit there. If you're sitting out the gate and not doing anything with your life, you're going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, a judgment. In Psalm 118, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord, the gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter." The song says, "I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His gates with joy and praise." Don't sit out the gate, inside the gates of God's blessing. God is giving a blessing. You want the blessing? I want the blessing. I don't want to sit out the gate and die. I want my blessing. Well, in John chapter 1, verse 7, 9, and 29, sometimes we need a little motivation, a little kick in the pants, if you will, to have it see the light. In John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "There came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world." The next day, John sees Jesus coming to him, and he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God," he says, "which takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the light. He's the one that dawns upon your heart. He's the one that dawns upon your mind. He's the one that fills your soul. He's the one that gives you enthusiasm. He's the one that gives you hope. He's the one that feeds you. He is the light. So if you're one of those lepers kind of kicking back, say, "Well, I'll just wait a while. I have things to do. Before I start serving Jesus, I got to go to school. Before I start serving God, I got to get a job. Before I really get into the work of the Lord, I've got some plans." In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, he says, "Wherefore he saith, 'Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light.'" Looking forward to that. I already have that. He has given me light. See, in the case of the lepers, God is at work around us today. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 5, it says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are they wonderful works which you have done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up into order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." The psalmist David had it right. He knew that the blessings were more than he could number. He knew that God was a work around him. He understood that nothing was impossible for God. And God is at work around the world and around each of us. So folks, don't despair. I don't care what happens in November's election, because God is on the throne. We don't know what projects God may be working on in our behalf. But we do know that God has a purpose for His people. He has made a covenant of grace with us, with each believer. "Oh, what do you mean by that, Larry? I thought we all had the same stuff." No, He gives a measure of faith to each and every one of us. Jesus to me is not the same as Jesus to you. He is my Jesus. It means that God has taken us into a favor relationship with Him. We have access to His great power, and He is at work all around each of His own. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, did you know He assigned a guardian angel to be with you? I know that's true because my guardian angel has worked overtime for me, keeping me out of trouble. When I get to the kingdom, He says, "Are you my guardian angel?" "Yeah, see all the bruises? Yeah." Give Him a big hug. In John chapter 6, verse 33 and 35, talking about the eating of these guys in the tents, notice this. For the bread of God is He which comes down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to Me shall never hunger, and he that believes with Me shall never thirst." God has called us to the King's table. We've been invited because King Jesus will be there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58 says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable," he says, "always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that you labor, it's not in vain in the Lord." Like the lepers, we need to share the good news. We need to tell people there's life. This is the part where I usually get most amens in my messages. When I say in conclusion, I get a lot of those. People say amen, you know. I want you to ponder this. Unrepentant sinners, they sit outside the gate of eternal life. And you all know some of those people. They're sitting outside the gate. Sitting outside the gate of redemption through Christ equals death. Hebrews 9:27 says it best, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that there will be a judgment." And if you are judged outside the gate, if you are judged away from God, then you're going to be gone eternally, never to exist again. I don't want that. To light up and arise to eat the bread of life equals eternal life. It's time to get up. It's time to go eat. It's time to go drink. It's time to have the bread of life. It's time to drink living water. It's time to have a relationship with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. And if you think life ends at 70 or 80 or 90 or 100, you're wrong. Life begins when you give your life to Jesus Christ. To eat at the King's table is to be satisfied. I want you to believe me on this. I don't come here for the potlucks. I don't come here just to eat the snacks. I come to worship God. I come to sing praises. I come to pray. I come to get rejuvenated. I need to get my batteries charged every week. I come to fellowship with my forever family. To eat at the King's table is to be satisfied. He satisfies my soul. Having tasted the goodness of the Lord, our eyes are open to the needs of others. And so, folks, a lot of you have been eating of the bread of life. Amen? A lot of you have been drinking of the living water. So we need to go tell people about it. That's called evangelism. Hey, have I got a deal for you? You want to live forever? Anybody here want to live forever? You say, "I do." Say, "I do." And then you want to be able to share that with somebody. A lot of you have a good friend, either at school or work. So I really like that person. You know, I would like to have them forever with me, forever and ever. They have a nice spirit. They have a nice person. But they're just rotten sinners. But I got to tell them, because you know what? I've been eating of the bread of life and I've been drinking of the living water, and I got to tell them. It's time to tell them, just like those lepers went to the city and said, hey, there's all kinds of food here. And not only the bread of life and living water, but we're going to get some new clothes. And not off the rack. And so I leave you with this statement. There were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit here until we die? Bow your heads with me. Father God, as we come before you, Lord, I pray that we won't be sitting at the gate, that we will arise and we will taste of the bread of life and then we will drink living water. And then we will tell others. And we will get our new clothes. And we will share the good news of salvation to everyone that we see. You gave us hope. You gave us a purpose. And even though we didn't know it, dear Father, you were already working around in our lives, preparing things. Father, I pray that you will bless us, that you will give us the desires of our heart, that we will be able to say, it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. In the name of Jesus we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.